secret.
Which indeed does pass all understanding. Would you read with me? The basic text for this morning is Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, but I'll be referring Luke chapter 4, 1 through 13. So that's your homework assignment. Okay? You got to go home and read that for yourselves. Don't take my word. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, afterward he hungered. Lord God, please bless your holy word. Take charge this morning. Lord, let thy word be shared. But most of all, O God, let us take thy word to heart. And let us see what you have in store for us. For dear God, Jesus is not alone when he was tempted. For we are indeed tempted. We're tempted by Satan to remove ourselves from your glory. For he attempted to ascend to your place. But dear God, the Father reserved it for you. So he cast Satan out of heaven as a lightning bolt to the planet Earth. And there, O God, he tempts us, he deceives us, and he lies to us constantly. So Lord, help us to understand the truth of thy holy word. We praise you, O God, for your infinite mercy and grace. Amen. Would you go ahead and be seated? We are tempted constantly. In the scripture that I referred to, if we look on down, beginning in verse 3, he says, "And the devil said unto Jesus, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, each and every one of us in here, some more than others, like bread. And we eat sometimes more than we should. As a matter of fact, my wife and I were talking this morning, and I told her I was going to have to cut down on my portions so I could fit into my suit. We not only like bread, we need bread. Now, when I say bread, I'm talking about steak. I'm talking about lobster. I'm talking about tuna noodle casserole, chili. I'm talking about food. I'm talking about that which gives us substance to be able to continue in this. If you look at the drawings remember biology in high school? How many of you took biology? I did. I just barely made it, but I got through it. But in biology, they had all kinds of pictures of the internal workings of our physical bodies. And the intestines are so long, and the liver does this, and the gallbladder does that, and the appendix does this, and on and on and on. God, in his infinite wisdom, made it possible for our physical bodies to take substance and turn it into power, turn it into strength. He could take a field of corn and turn it into muscle. And with that muscle, we could grow more corn to sustain not only us, but our families. And Satan, in his infinite wisdom, knows full well that you and I So when he came and first tempted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he tempted him in the way that he tempts you and I. The bread of life. The very bread of life. Jesus Christ himself. He went 40 days without food. I probably last 15 minutes. Or 20 if I'm good. We cannot survive without food. And Satan knows this. It's like the old adage that I did learn in biology. The definition of a calorie. It's one of them things women are afraid of. Men, we don't worry about it as much. But women do. They worry about those calories. I guess I'm going to have to start worrying. I am tempted. I love to eat. My wife can attest to that. If it's before me, I'm going to eat it. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to go from a 10-inch plate to an 8-inch plate. And then we're going to start doling out a cup of this and a cup of that. Let's see. Half of my plate is supposed to be vegetables. Some vegetables I love. I don't. But I guess I got to learn to eat some of them, huh? Because they're good for us. Satan knows this. He is the king of all liars. Well, you can have that extra muffin. You can have that extra piece of pie. You can have that extra piece of cake. And then you can go to Walmart and buy yourself some new jeans. But he doesn't tell us that part. He doesn't tell us that if we eat too much, we're going to develop heart trouble. We're going to develop high blood pressure. If we eat too much salt, high blood pressure. I'm exactly the opposite. My salt level is way down. Matter of fact, the doctor was about ready to put me on salt supplements because my salt level was right borderline. My brother's the same way. So I don't have that trouble. But too much salt will. Satan doesn't tell you that, does he? He tries to make everything look so doggone good. And I tell you, you can ask my wife, if there's a lemon meringue pie in the house, that ain't there very long. I think that's my all-time favorite. But I'm going to have to learn to
eat one piece, not
the whole thing. And I've been known to. Don't have that trouble, but
I praise God I don't.
But Satan doesn't tell us all that stuff. He says, command that these stones
be turned to bread.
He tempted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the same way you and I are tempted. There is every
single
temptation that is on this earth.
Lord and Savior
Jesus Christ overcome. Because Satan attacked
him
in the flesh, just as he attacks you and I in the flesh. But he doesn't stop there. Look at what he did on them.
In
verse 7. Well, I guess I got to go back to 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power that he showed him from the pinnacle of a high mountain, all the kingdoms of the world, all this power will I give unto thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I give it. Satan was exercising his authority, wasn't he? He's trying to trick you again. He's trying to lie to you again. He says, all this power is under my authority. Well, there he was right. But I'll tell you what, and I mean this with all sincerity, Satan is not going to give you anything
that the good Lord
won't let him. Because the good Lord knows what's good for you, and he knows what's bad for you. And
here he
is attempting to infiltrate your mind. My wife and I love to just get in the car and go for a ride. And we love to look at what God has created. We love to look at what man has created. And there's a couple of real old houses right up the road here. We talked about this morning coming in. How, I don't like the color of it, but how beautiful that one particular house is. How magnificent. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to do everything I can to own it. I probably couldn't pay the taxes on it, let alone heat it. God knows what's good for me. He's going to give only good gifts. And he will give us the ability to overcome every Satan temptation that he has in store. Every one of them. Why? Because the good Lord, Jesus Christ himself, was tempted the same way he tempts us. It's up to you. Yeah. God will never force his will upon anyone. He won't do it. He offers. The scripture says that I have come that your joy might be full. And if that joy is full, what else do you need? We got a slogan, I think it's on a piece of wood, that says, if you love what you have all you need. You stop and think about that. If you love what you have all you need. Might not live in that beautiful home up here, but we've got a nice warm roof over our heads. And our house is comfortable. And we've got a love seat, the power, you know, each side goes up and down individually. We put our feet up. Cats come up and jump on our laps. I reach over my end table, get the remote control. All the men got remote controls, right? Work the TV set. Don't even have to get up anymore. When I started in electronics back in the 60s, I learned on vacuum tubes. Kids today don't have any idea what vacuum tubes are. You tell them about the old round picture tubes, the first color picture tubes. You mean it wasn't in color all the time? No. Vacuum tube, what's that? Well, if you look at the old round picture tubes, they were about this deep. And God forbid that you should break one. My dad used to work in a shop in Columbus, and he would bring the old picture tubes out to the farm. We'd set them down over the hill. We called it over the hill. It was really where we dumped all of our trash. We'd set them down there and then get way back and shoot them with a 22. Glass would land at our feet. The implosion was fantastic on those suckers. And then we learned if we laid the picture tube on the face and used that same 22, and shot and broke the neck off that picture tube, it would not explode. The reason is the thickness of the glass. The thickness of the glass on the neck was so different than that on the face. And that on the face would cause the air to rush in so fast that it would come in, and it really was an implosion. It would come in so fast and hit inside, and then the reaction would send it out to the feet. But if we broke that same neck off, that same picture tube, nothing. You could stand there with a hatchet and break it off. You wouldn't have to worry about it. But if you were up close and you hit that picture tube with a hatchet, you'd be pushing up daisies. That's wisdom. Now, Satan came at Christ with all the glories of the world. Have you ever seen the Taj Mahal on TV? Magnificent. Have you seen the Alps? Buddy and I, on our way from Italy over to Germany, drove through the Alps, right through Innsbruck, Austria. And as we crested a hill that evening, approaching Innsbruck, which was basically in the big bowl of a valley, and the lights of the Innsbruck were brightly lit. And I say unto you, it was gorgeous. And I know the history of Innsbruck a little bit, and I know some of the glories that went on there. It was beautiful. I've seen the Colosseum in Rome. I've seen Mount Vesuvius. Walked the streets of Pompeii. And I've also seen the devastation that when Pompeii was destroyed by that volcano, Vesuvius, it was unreal. But down the road, just a little ways, was another town called Herculaneum. And that town did not suffer the lava, but it was covered in ash, just the dirty dust. And when they excavated Herculaneum, they didn't use shovels and picks. They used a brush. They brushed it away. So much better preserved that it showed the glories of Rome that were there in that area at the time. So the glory of the earth is absolutely magnificent. We've got some beautiful places here on earth. And all of that Satan was going to give to Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shall thou serve. You see, all Satan wanted was for Jesus to bow down and worship him. And he didn't really want the worship. He wanted to take Jesus away from God, his Father, the one whom heaven was reserved for at the right hand of God. Satan wanted that seat. And even though he knew he was never going to occupy it, he wanted to rob Christ of his rightful place. Just as he wants to rob you and I of the place that he has reserved in store for us. And it's reserved. It's reserved. Because God is God, he was before there was, he is before there is, and he will be. Because he is. He has been there. He is here and he is there. He will never, ever lose his throne. Now, we have a hard time thinking of eternity. At least I do. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird, but to fathom eternity, you know, it's almost impossible. But one day, the Lord revealed to me just a little bit of an illustration. I forget what book I was reading, but he revealed it to me through that book. It said, the time that it would take for a single hummingbird. How many of you would like to feed the hummingbirds in the summer up here? Boy, I do. We've got hummingbird feeders all across our porch. And we sit there on the deck and we watch the hummingbirds. So much fun. But the time it would take one of those little hummingbirds to get a drink of water in Lake Michigan, fly to the Grand Canyon, and deposit that drop of water in the Colorado River that flows through the canyon, and to fill that canyon to the rim through his, and this is figuring no evaporation, flying back and forth between the Grand Canyon and Lake Michigan enough times to fill that canyon with water. That's an eternity, folks. And really, it's just the beginning of an eternity. Because after he filled the Grand Canyon, he'd probably have to fill the San Andreas Fault, because California would drop in the ocean by then. Who knows? Who knows? But that's eternity. And that's how long you and I have to praise God on high, to worship him and worship him only. Now, as I referred to earlier, my wife and I have a lovely home. It may not be the Taj Mahal, and it may not be as fancy as this little house, big house right up here, but we are very content with it. And we'll be content until the Lord gives us something else. Because God is good. And he will honor what he promised you and I. But Satan, he kept throwing those ifs. He said, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from this pinnacle of the church. For it is written that God shall give his angels charge over you so that you won't even dash your foot against a stone. So if you throw yourself down from here, you won't get hurt. Well, got news for you, Satan. Jesus said again, it is written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What a temptation. He first made him doubt bread, tempted him with bread, something that he needed, because even the scripture there in verse 2 said afterwards he was hungered. So he tempted him with bread, and then he tempted him with all the power on earth. And then the ultimate temptation, and Satan uses every single one of these to tempt you and I. Does God really exist? That's what he was saying. He said, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from this high pinnacle, because God will catch you. Well, I got news for you. God the Father has given you and I a safety net. You know, back when they used to have the circuses going through towns, the trapeze artists would always perform with a safety net so that when they swung from perch to perch, if they slipped, they'd fall on that safety net and they'd bounce and they would not get hurt. Then they decided, well, we're so good, we don't need a safety net. So they started dying. But God the Father has given you and I a safety net that will never break. He has given us a safety net that will catch us. And we can tell Satan to turn around and go right back to his home where he belongs. Because it is written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But our safety net cannot be tempted beyond endurance. Because our safety net is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because when we fall, and we will, every single one of us will fall, Jesus is right there to catch us and to help us regain our feet, to help us shake off the crimson stain. You know, I probably shared this with you before, but I'm going to do it again, so forgive me. When I was in college, I was in an astronomy class, not astrology, but astronomy. And we were studying the moon. And so class one night, we were to go out to the field and look through the telescopes and draw on these papers that the teacher had made up some of the features that we could see through these powerful telescopes. Well, I had been to the bookstore that day and I bought two brand new ink pens. And I put one in my pocket, didn't think anything about it, threw the other one in the glove box of my car. And that night, went out to the field, and the teacher had told us to put a red filter over our flashlight lens. Those of you that have been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. You put a red filter over a flashlight, and it doesn't diminish your vision, but you can see a little bit better. The enemy can't see it as well either. And that's the whole idea. So it came my turn. I got up there, was looking through the telescope. And I started scratching my ink pen on that paper because there was nothing there. Not a thing. Brand new ink pen. So I told the guy behind me, I said, take my turn. I said, I got to go get me a new ink pen. So I walked back to the car. And as I opened the door of the car, of course, the dome light come on. I threw my clipboard on the seat, reached over and got in the glove box and got the new pen out. And then I reached down to pick up the clipboard. And on that paper was every single mark that I had put on it. Every single mark. And then it hit me. Why and how the red blood of Jesus shed on a cross one day can completely and totally blot out my sin. The crimson stain, it is called. Because every mark on that paper was red. The white light of the dome exposed it for what it was. But the red filter on my flashlight filtered out the red stain that was on the paper. And that's the way the red blood of Christ blots out our sin. Because when the Father looks at us, thank God, that he doesn't look at us through the white light of his power and his majesty. Thank God that he looks at you and I through the red blood of Jesus. And it blots out our crimson stain of sin. Not just for a day, but forever. The eternity that I talked about a little while ago. He blots it out. It's gone. That's one thing that God has assured us. But that sin shall be as far removed from us as east is from west. And I know you've heard that before. Just a few more ifs in 1 John. Let's see if I can find it here. 1 John. Oh, looking at chapter 1. Write it down so you can look it up later. Verses 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him, which we declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If, that great big word, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if, that word again, we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If! Biggest word in the English language, two letters. We say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We don't deceive God. We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If! There's that big word again. And in this case, it is 10 times as big. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Not my words. I guess it's like the fella that was going out the church door when the preacher was standing back there at the end of the service. I like to call it my, when I stand at the back door, it's my exit pole. But he was standing at the back door and the gentleman came out and said, "Preacher, you sure stepped on my toes this morning." Preacher said, "Oh, I am so sorry, because I was aiming for your heart." And beloved, that's what Jesus is looking for. Your whole heart. The moment you confess him as Lord and Savior, you are indeed sealed unto the day of redemption. God is good. He is faithful. And he is on his throne. And Jesus is sitting right there beside him, saying, "Dad, he's one of mine. Forgive him. See him through my blood. He's as righteous as I am." I pray to God that everyone in here this morning has made that profession of faith. If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you shall indeed be sealed unto the day of redemption. And that seal can never, ever be broken.
Because only the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, has the authority. God the Father can't do it. God the Holy Spirit can't do it. Only the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, can open the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is written down, oh, praise God. Every angel in heaven sings. But if Jesus can't find your name, he's going to have to say, depart from me, you accursed, because I never knew you. But God, we preached Sunday school. We preached in the pulpit for 60 years. But if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart to blot out that red stain, he's going to say, depart from me, you accursed, because I never knew you. You were there for the wrong reason. May God bless the time that we have spent together this morning. And now, do we have a song, or are we going to... Okay, we do have the song. It's Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, isn't it? How about that? He always wonders why I don't select the songs. I let the Holy Spirit select them. And he does a good job, doesn't he? And so do you. If you have a decision to make, I'll be right here. You can come up now or you can see me after the service. I know for a fact, because I've talked to several, there are men and women in this congregation right now that can show you what the Bible says about your salvation trip and how to achieve it. Put your hand in mine and say, preacher, I need Jesus. I want to turn my eyes to him. So we're going to have one verse. So it's up to you. Would you rise? And if you don't have to, don't hold on to that pew. Let go of it so you can let go and let God.